Stan Dempsey, came on the small screen, walking in front of the camera, seating himself in the chair. When he began to speak, there was no emotion whatsoever. Very matter of fact. He talked about the things that had gone on in his life, how all he'd ever wanted to do was become a cop, a detective. He talked about how much he had loved the job over the years. He talked about a couple of cases he'd worked that he was especially proud of. In the background, Kovac could see through the doorway to the kitchen to a cookie jar in the shape of a pig sitting on its ass on the counter. He looked up from the video screen through the doorway into the kitchen. There was the cookie jar, a silly, stupid thing, completely incongruous with its owner. A simple, normal thing, completely in contrast to the creepy, dark tone of the videotape. The whole thing seemed surreal. Dempsey was too calm on the video, the kind of calm that came to people when they had made a difficult decision and felt at peace. He picked up a knife and stroked the blade lovingly while he explained what kind of knife it was, what its purpose was. He put the first knife down and picked up a broad, gleaming hunting knife with a deadly-looking serrated blade. He explained how it could be used to cut the throat of an animal, how it could be used to gut the animal, to skin the animal. He picked up a boning knife and explained the process of removing bones and cutting the meat from them. The job took a very sharp knife, he said. Stan talked about how he oiled and honed the blades of his knives himself and took great pride in his work. The hunting knife and the boning knife were both absent from the table now, Kovac noted. On the tape, Dempsey picked up a long, two-pronged fork, the kind that came with barbecue sets. Depending on how a person used this, Dempsey said in his flat, monotone voice, this could be a very effective tool. Jesus God. He talked about his guns, how the first two of the collection had been his father's, his own pistol from World War II, and another he had taken off a dead German. He talked about the Haas murders, how hard he had worked that case, the rage he had felt in the interrogation room, looking at the man who had tortured and murdered a woman and two little children. He talked about how angry he'd been when the lieutenant had pulled him not only from the case, but from the rotation and stuck him on a desk. And now the judge has ruled Carl Dahl's prior bad acts can't be admitted into evidence. The jury might find that evidence too significant. The build-up to a triple homicide, the making of a killer. Judge Moore found that to be prejudicial and inflammatory. Well, that's the whole idea, isn't it? Dempsey asked. Are we supposed to pretend Carl Dahl was a damn Boy Scout before he butchered Marlene Haas and those two children? Of course he wasn't. He was a criminal and a pervert, but the jury won't hear about that. Dempsey shook his head, slowly. That's just not right. It's not right for a judge to take away the prosecution's case. Judge Moore's decision puts Carl Dahl one step closer to walking on a triple murder, and she should be ashamed of herself. I hear she has a small daughter. I wonder how differently she would feel if her daughter were raped and sodomized and hung up from the ceiling like a slaughtered lamb. I think she'd sing a different tune. Holy Christ. Kovac felt sick. Of course, it doesn't matter now, Stan Dempsey said. Carl Dahl is out, running around loose. Escaped. I don't know how that could happen, but it did. And I have to do something about that. Someone has to take responsibility. That'll be me. I'll do that. The guilty have to pay. The guilty have to pay. The screen turned to snow. Stan Dempsey was gone.